The conversations we've been having in the last few weeks center around this idea of having hearts for ministry. Hearts for ministry is the way we're invited to approach the ideas of stewardship this year. Now, I mentioned the very first week we discussed it. Stewardship is not about giving. Stewardship is about using. Far too often, stewardship is discussed in churches, and it's discussed in this way of, well, we're using the word stewardship as just sort of churchy language for asking people to give money. I'm asking all of us to look at a bigger picture that is about how we use and make use of everything we've been given in life, every single day. Our time, our abilities, what we earn, and what we care about. We're invited to be good stewards of those things every moment, every relationship, every place. I want us to consider all of these things in our lives that we treasure, and then consider how we use them. Where do we invest them? And this is what leads to our theme, Hearts for Ministry. Because as the words of Jesus remind us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If this was just about giving money on Sunday, it wouldn't be Hearts for Ministry, it would be Cash for Budget. Reading that in the bulletin is when you politely get up and walk out. This is about ministry in our lives, in this place, and most importantly, out there in the world. That we might place what we treasure into ministry, because that's where our hearts should be. Now, we do need to finance the work of the church. But it is my sincere prayer and intention and the desire of our leadership here in the church that if we focus on how each of us live our lives with hearts for ministry, the church's needs will follow naturally. In fact, over the last couple weeks, I've had two different people ask me when I was going to start preaching about stewardship. They'd been in church the last 2 weeks. I was worried I'd missed something. I have. We started 2 weeks ago? Well, I was there. Okay. But then we started chatting. The first week, I focused on the many exciting and meaningful ways that we're in ministry here. I offered a glimpse into what I treasure and why I invest it here. Because I know that my $450 a month is doing amazing things to change the world and to change me when I give it. I then invited each and every one of us to consider how we might make use of all we've been given. In the ways that we contribute to ministry, our lives and the life of our congregation will change. You see, celebrating the ministries that make us who we are, that's talking about stewardship. Or last week on All Saints' Days, we lit candles and read names. I turned my focus to the moment in which we live, the moment that we have to serve in this long legacy of those that had come before and those that will follow after. By considering the powerful history of this community and how it's been entrusted to us, we're reminded that this is our moment to build upon a century of service and a heritage of hope. It's our moment to carry on the faith of those who invested before us and those who asked us in their departure to be good stewards, to make good use of the ministries of Highlands United Methodist Church. Reflecting on how our stewardship will affect generations that follow us in this place, considering how all that we do will shape and change the neighborhood and the world for years to come. That's talking about stewardship. And the combination of these weeks was to prepare all of us to honestly ask ourselves, where do we want to make use of the things that we treasure in life? Because where you invest your time, your money, and your energy in life, where you do so shapes you. And I believe that the ministries and the values of Highlands United Methodist Church are a good template into which to be formed, because they've been formed in a godly vision. I tell you, the impact of your generosity in this place is significant. Not only because of some need the church has, but because the way you're giving will touch your heart and shape your life. I say this because I've watched it happen in my life and the lives of people I love. You see, when we discuss stewardship in this place, I'm always looking to avoid reasons you have to give, reasons you need to give, reasons you're supposed to give. I want our conversations about stewardship to reflect our values as a congregation, not just reflecting numbers in a budget. It's my hope that you will hear reasons that will create within you a desire to invest in all that God is doing. See, this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about in our scriptures when he wrote to a group of faithful people in Corinth. To give you some context, the people in Corinth, they were very busy, they were often overextended, and they were working very hard to make ends meet. Sound familiar? They had a lot of demands in places that they could offer what they had, what they did, and who they were. And knowing that, Paul wrote them a letter in 2 Corinthians, asking them to invest in what God was doing in ministry. He wanted them to have hearts for ministry, and this is how he said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is why I thought it was necessary to encourage the brothers and sisters to go ahead of time and arrange in advance the generous gift you have promised. I want it to be a real gift from you. I don't want it to feel like you're being forced to give anything. What I mean is this. The one who sows a small number of seeds will reap a small crop, and the one who sows a generous amount will also reap a generous amount. Everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way you'll have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for all the good work. As it is written, he scatters everywhere. He gives to the needy. His righteousness remains forever. You see, the one who supplies seeds for planting and bread for eating will supply and multiply all that you have and increase your crops. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every way. Such generosity proves as thanksgiving to God through us. Your ministry of this service to God's people isn't just meeting needs, it's multiplying in many expressions of thanksgiving to God. Now allow me to summarize what Paul is saying here. Paul has a tendency to take several pages to say the same thing Jesus said in 10 words. When you give, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think what Paul is helping us to consider here is that when we give, our heart should be in it, because what we give will be in our heart. God invites us to give from a place of joy and desire, not from a place of guilt and pressure. That's what I think about every single time I sit down to work on a sermon or write you a letter that talks about how you might make use of all you've been blessed with. I want to plant seeds of joy and desire for ministries of love, relationship, and service. If I can plant those seeds, I firmly believe that God's grace will bring them forth and make them fruitful. That's what God does. And then you get to choose what you will do with the treasure you harvest. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't know if you've noticed, but the scripture we're using as this theme, it puts treasure first. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where our treasure goes, our hearts follow. For too many of us, the things that we do often are an afterthought instead of being afterthought. And so often our hearts follow our treasure. Where we invest what we have, what we do, and even more who we are in the world, it changes us. And see, when we do so, we need to be careful that when we invest things in the world, that we're doing it in such a way that allows us to transform the world versus simply letting the world transform us and our priorities. Where our treasure is, our hearts will follow. I think it's a realistic observation of humanity, which is something Jesus was really good at, and that's why I think he said it. But I hear an invitation in Christ's words, perhaps even a challenge, to do something that turns it around. I'm a believer that through thoughtful decisions, decisions that are born out of joy and desire, decisions that are focused on possibility and potential, our hearts will lead, and our treasure will follow. I think we can live in such a way that our hearts for ministry won't simply be some result. Instead, hearts for ministry can be the catalyst for a life-changing, world-transforming ministry that I treasure about this place. And I hope you treasure it too. Amen.